No, I'm just scared that I'm going to be sober and I might actually be intelligent tonight.
No, there's no hope of that.
Nah. Nah. Let's just throw that away.
Episode are we? Four. Glad you know, Tony.
I'm on it.
Here for something.
All right. Episode four of the Perfectly Sane Show. I'm Chris. I'm here with Tony.
How you guys doing?
Jeff.
Good evening.
And the USC fan has returned. I guess they're not playing tonight, right, Fozzie?
Maybe. I don't know. This podcast is too important.
Okay. All right. So, so some games came out this week. Bunch of stuff, but, I don't know if any of us are playing any of the new stuff. So, Tony, why don't you tell us what you've been up to with your Wii Adventure?
Tony.
I finally finished, I finished, New Super Mario Brothers Wii. Took me 7 hours, 26 minutes. Got an exact count. So, I don't know. I found it to be pretty easy, to be honest. It wasn't... I've heard some horror stories about it being really hard, but I finished... I had 71 lives left when I finished, so...
You also found Super Mario Galaxy 2 to be pretty easy, though, right?
Yeah, I did. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a Mario savant. I don't know.
beginning to think that.
It was good, though. I mean, I liked it more the farther I got into the game. There were some more... The levels became more interesting to me. Although I still feel like they harken back a lot to the earlier games. They just used the technology more to, animate some of the stuff that goes on better so that you can see what's going on. I don't know. It was a lot of fun. The final battle with Bowser was interesting. It was sort of classic and then turned it on its head, which was kind of nice. I won't spoil it for people who haven't played it.
Fair enough.
But it was a good time. I can see why people buy the game. I mean, it's a good game. I'm not sure that I would have spent full price for it because it's just so similar to the other games that have already come out. Like, I've had that experience before. I don't want to pay full price to have it again. But I'm glad I rented it. It was a good ride.
Okay, so you wouldn't pay $50 for it, but do you think it's worth more than like just a WiiWare release?
Yeah, it's probably better than a WiiWare release. I definitely think there's a lot more play there than you would get from your average WiiWare game. Like it took me a little over 7 hours to finish it, and I didn't do the secret world. I'm sure there's a lot of stuff that I missed. Secrets-wise, although I did manage to play through... I didn't use the cannons to skip any of the worlds, so I played through every world.
I did.
Weakling! Of course, that's also probably why I ended up with so many lives. You play through the levels. Like, I was getting,
that's
like,
true.
Two or three extra lives per level.
Nice.
Yep.
Yeah, they're pretty trigger-happy with the one-offs. Like, I get like 5 ups every now and then. I'm like, dear God, what's going on here? But, yeah.
Yeah, some of that stuff made it really easy. The little one-up houses where you shoot through the cannon, through the balloons.
Oh, God, yeah. There's one for like 3 ups.
You can get a good like 6 or 9 in some of those.
Sure.
Depending upon how you line it up.
And if you finished any of the levels with a little helicopter suit, that was an automatic one-up. So
I love the helicopter suit.
Yeah, the helicopter shoot actually helped me get through the final level where Bowser's chasing you.
So. Yeah, I can see that part being really hard if you don't have it. There's not a whole lot of room for error.
Yeah,
you both use the helicopter suit.
Well, you can get. I think I got it.
You can get it about halfway through.
Yeah.
Yeah, I seem to remember using it too.
Oh yeah, you do get it halfway through. That's so true.
It messes with you though. The first couple ones are fire flowers, which are completely useless at the end.
Yeah,
they are. Because they don't do anything to the flames.
You know, anything else, Tony?
I also played. I played another Wii game. I played the Call of Duty Reflex, the Modern Warfare game. Did not like it. I think had I a larger TV that was farther away from me, it might have been more entertaining. But I found the controls to be really, really awkward. It has the in the Xbox and PS3 versions, when you look down the sight, you lock to the enemy.
Right.
You can do that in the Wii version, but then it automatically resights to wherever the pointer is pointing. So when you look down the sight, you're going to miss because the aim is going to jigger back to where you were aiming originally. So I kept trying to like shoot people, but every time I looked down the sight and it locked on, I missed. Like
you can't change that?
Like it won't auto-aim on an enemy?
It auto-aims, but then it instantly...
Then it goes to your cursor.
...moves right back. So it made it impossible to actually shoot anyone. So I made it through the first level and then gave up because it was just too frustrating.
It's not on rails, is it?
It is not on rails. It is actually a full first-person shooter experience.
I think it's the full game, isn't it? It's like the full...
Yeah, it is the entire Call of Duty campaign.
Oh, okay.
How's it look?
I mean, it looks... it looks PS2-ish. I mean, it looks like a Wii game. It's not going to have the crisp fidelity of a HD game. But it looked all right. I mean, I wasn't disgusted looking at the screen. The characters look like actual people. They don't look like stick figures or anything. So, I was actually surprised that it looked as good as it did, to be honest.
I would play a first-person shooter where they were stick people. So it would be stylized, like maybe right. Like you're in like Pencil World or something like that. Could be fun.
If you did it well, it could be fun. Yeah.
Yes.
And I also played the Ruse demo. On PS3. So I didn't play it on a console, or I didn't play it on
PC.
PC. I played it on a console.
And how's it work?
The controls were interesting. There's no pointer, so you're basically just moving your little outline over your various units. You can like cycle through them, which is probably better than having the controller try to simulate a cursor. So that was good. The story seemed kind of awful. The voice acting was bad. Like I wasn't drawn into that at all. And then the game was just really slow. For whatever reason, it was the most slow-moving RTS game I had ever played in my entire life. Like, it was taking a good, like, minute for units to move, like, a little bit, and I was just disgusted by how goddamn slow it was.
This is far too slow for my taste. I cannot play this.
If you've played Halo Wars, I mean, you know that an RTS in RTS fashion can succeed on a console, and this just... for some reason felt that by making it so slow that the controls would be easy and you could actually use the controller to do it. But
dude, I don't know, maybe it's different on the console, but I loved the Ruse beta. I don't know, did you play with anyone though? Because like what happened was I played with C-Dots a shit ton, and me and him would get on all the time and we'd play and we'd have a blast.
You played the PC version?
Yeah, I played the beta when it was out like a couple months ago.
Right.
So I'm kind of disappointed to hear that because if there's any title I was looking for, because the Move really does not have many good titles out there. Like at launch, at least, it's kind of weak. It's you basically have Wii Sports HD, and then this game, and then maybe a couple others. But you know, I mean, this game kind of looked cool. I was kind of hoping it'd come out like Kinect, and then it'd be totally like Minority Report like, where you can, like, touch the screen and everything. That'd be so sick. But, you know, I was kind of hoping it'd be a little better. So maybe it will work out with the Move. But For the PC though, I thought it was a lot of fun. I thought that it brought in the, I think the best part was the Iris Vision or something like that. It's basically like how it just goes from a top view of a map, and then you can scroll down seamlessly, like onto your tanks and everything. So I think the zooming in the game is really good. It's probably the best I've seen in an RTS game.
Nice.
It looks like I missed out by not playing the PC version. That's what it
says. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, maybe there's a couple different things in the PC version, but I enjoyed myself a lot with it, so maybe I'll pick it up for the PC instead.
Yeah, you got that new gaming PC. You could
work
that out.
I still need to beat StarCraft, but that's for another day.
Anything else, Tony?
Oh, I also started and finished the single-player campaign to Killzone 2.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. If you played Halo, you played Call of
Duty. Yeah, dude, it's good.
Experienced what's there before. But, I mean, it's good. It's probably the first single-player campaign I played with a first-person shooter on the PS3. So the controls took a little getting used to, but, I mean, once I made it through the first couple levels, it was like, I don't know, like normal.
It was fun.
Go ahead, Ozzy.
I was just going to say, I think that the story was actually not too bad. The main guy, or the main villain, is played by Brian Cox, who some of you guys might know. And I think that he was very strong in that role. I really just liked the whole aspect of the Helgon and the Helghast, and how, like, you are kind of going into their world and invading them, and, you know, it's kind of, you can kind of see where he's coming from when he's trying to lead his people.
But if you played through the first game, it's the Helghast had attacked...
It attacked like a nearby colony or something. But, you know, I mean, I think that he played a very strong leader. And, you know how the ending is. I'm not going to try and spoil it for anyone, but it has been out for like over a year. But I hate Rico. I can't believe you even compare me to him.
Screw that guy.
Oh, I wish you would have died, man. I mean, but unfortunately, he lives to see another day. Probably for the third one, he's going to have a big part. So that just makes me sad inside. But, for the most part, I really enjoyed the second one. I don't think it was like a Halo killer like they said it would be. But Killzone 3, it kind of did what like Assassin's Creed 2 did. It had the same basic elements of the first one, or I guess this would be the second one. But the little details that it fixed makes the game so much more playable. Like, I think in Killzone 2, you have to hold down L2 while you're crouched the whole time, and there's no way to fix that. But they changed that up. They changed up how you zoom in. I mean, it makes the game play so much better. So if you enjoyed Killzone 2, you're really going to like Killzone 3, I promise. So, yeah.
Did you get to play any of the multiplayer, Tony?
I have not yet. I guess I have to, right? Because it's free, right?
Yeah.
Right. It's I don't know how their community is doing at this point. That Killzone 2 and Resistance 2 released within like a 4-month window of each other. So they kind of cannibalized each other's audiences. So I don't know how Killzone 2 is doing with audience, like with a community at this point. But they had some interesting takes on like multiplayer. There's these different game types that you would find in like a Halo or a Call of Duty, like Capture the Flag or VIP or just like regular deathmatch. But instead of it just being separate, they were all bunched in together in one game mode, and they would rotate on a 5-minute basis. So you were still playing the same game, and like each round was like a different game mode. So, like, for your team to win the match, like, basically you'd have to win, like, 3 of 5 or something like that, so...
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was an interesting take on, you know, how to do multiplayer. Give it a try. I thought it was kind of fun, but I don't know if there's anybody playing it at this point.
If not, I can just wait for Killzone 3.
Yeah. That comes out February.
February?
Yeah.
Yeah. Get excited.
Yeah, and
that's actually why I play through it now, because I figure with all the games coming out this fall, I would never get to Killzone 2 unless I play it.
That was definitely a good call.
It's kind of like Sony's fucking themselves again, though, because Resistance 3 is going to be out early next year as well.
Yeah.
Why would you... These are your two biggest shooters on your system. Right? Why would you... Like,
two
biggest,
yeah.
Right. It's like, why would you put them out like that?
I think that Resistance 3 might be delayed, though. I'm hoping. It should come out
It should be in the fall. It should be...
Yeah.
There's no reason to put it out now. The only reason you would put it out early is if you were announcing your new console.
Yeah, I'd say summer, because summer you never have competition with shooters. No shooters come out in the summer. So why don't they just release it? Make it a summer blockbuster hit.
Yeah, I mean, if... Like, this past summer, like, we went really strong up until about June, maybe like the Crackdown 2 was maybe the last really big release up until like Madden. Like there was like that dead spot for about 4 to 6 weeks. So if they could release it in that window, they'd probably do really well with it.
Look how good Red Dead did coming out right before that. Like what came out in what, like end of May?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Look at some of these other games.
It sold like 5 mil.
Arkham Asylum hit in August, you know?
Yeah.
Metal Gear Solid 4 was a June release. It can be done.
It should be done.
Technology.
Yeah, it's because, I mean, early 2011 is looking really packed at this point.
Yeah, it's like, is Last Guardian?
They haven't announced when that's coming.
Yeah, that's probably fall.
We might find out that TGS is coming up, so we might find out that's going to be coming out soon. Sony's got some issues with the way they've released their titles, so I don't know. And you saw G.I. Joe, right, Tony?
That's right. G.I. Joe.
Citizen Kane for New Generation. The video.
Yeah, let's see it win about 10 Academy Awards, then we'll talk.
Yeah, it's not a very good movie, but
It was entertaining. They blew lots of stuff up.
Yeah, if you can watch it just as a dumb action movie, you might have some fun with it.
The acting was terrible. The dialogue was worse. I mean, the plot made absolutely no sense. They ruined the origin stories of all these G.I. Joe characters.
Yeah, they basically destroyed every character possible.
Really?
But, I kind of like that, like, Cobra Commander was, like, like he was, like, Duke's, like, brother-in-law
at one
point. It's so bad.
And the way they just kind of threw him in at the end, it's like, oh, by the way, I'm Cobra Commander.
Yeah.
Because I need to be in this movie, otherwise it's not G.I. Joe.
It's so bad, but it's so funny at the same time. And the guy who played, is Duke. He's everybody else kind of seems to realize it's a joke, except him. Like, he's just so serious throughout the whole film. Kind of makes it so much better.
Is this a movie you need to drink before you play?
That would help. Wish I had.
You just might want to drink every time, like, something stupid happens.
And you might make it 10 minutes in.
Yeah. If you're somehow able to, like, stay awake, you may die of alcohol poisoning. Alright, Fozzie, what have you been up to?
Oh, boy. All over the place. USC's offense. Well, USC played last week. That's why I wasn't here. And it's basically the start of college football, so my life is a little bit more complete. In terms of the season, though, it seems like I'm going to become a full-blown alcoholic because USC's offense looked great, but their defense, seriously, it looked like a high school JV game. Like, I've never seen people run it on 3rd and 24 and make a first down. It was embarrassing, dude. Like, I don't know if we had linebackers there or if they decided maybe to you know, just try and hook up with Aaron Andrews or something on the sidelines, but, I mean, it's just, it was terrible. Thank God our freaking offense looked orgasmic. So, I mean, it's definitely going to be like one of those seasons where I have no idea how any game is going to go. It could go either way, really. So,
damn, yeah, you tore Hawaii a new one. It was it was amazing.
Shut your face. Hey, Hawaii has a good passing offense, so I'll give them that.
Did they even have any defensive backs in the game? I'm just wondering.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Hey, regardless, though, our offense did click on all cylinders, so, and that's more than I could say about half of the teams out there.
Fucking yeah, you looked a lot better than Florida.
Dude, Florida looked terrible. Freaking Oklahoma almost got beat by Utah State. Not even Utah, but Utah State. Is that even Division One? I don't know.
You should be all excited about Jacksonville State, though.
I know, beating Ole Miss. Even though Jacksonville State's from North Carolina, it's not from Florida.
Really?
Yeah. There's like five Jacksonvilles out there. But, yeah, man. Besides that, I enjoyed my Labor Day weekend by going home, hung out with some friends and family. So, in terms of gaming, though, I've actually, I just started up a new playthrough of Mass Effect 2 in order to try and get a perfect score on that game, so.
Cool.
Going for 1,000 gamers.
It's actually like 1,200 now because of DLC.
You've been playing the new DLC?
Actually, I haven't been playing the new one yet. I want to play that next, but I've been playing the Project Overlord one.
Okay.
It's like there's a rogue thing taking over a space station, and you have to shut it down. But, I mean, I'm impressed so far. It's a fun little storyline, and so far I'm like 4 hours in, and I'm not even like close to being done with it. So there's a lot of stuff to do with it. But the cool thing about the new DLC is that you get to play as Liara again, which I think is pretty cool. Or you get her as a teammate. So
nice.
Yeah, she's from the first one, but she wasn't playable in the main missions of Mass Effect 2.
Now, is she only playable in the DLC, or can you pull her back into the main game?
That's a good question. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe she's just there for that DLC, because it's kind of all about the Shadow Broker and whatnot. So maybe she's like, I'm going to come on this one mission with you, and that's it. And then you guys make love, but I'm sure that's for later on.
Maybe it's a setup to bring her back as a team member. And
they'll bring her, Ashley Williams back. They'll bring back. I hope they bring back Rex. That would be awesome. I mean, I like Grunt and all, but Rex was my favorite freaking Krogan.
I killed him off, so I'm.
You did?
I'm Rexless. Yes.
evil fuck. So yeah, that's what I've been up to, man. The past few days.
I have to go back and play through that because Miranda died in my playthrough.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't have that.
That was very depressing.
That ass is, like, amazing. Holy shit.
Yes, I agree.
So.
Actually, everything about her is nearly perfect, so can't complain.
But she was, like, genetically created, right? Yeah, so.
Giggity. I hope all women in the future are genetically created. Hey-oh. Oh God! I'm not gonna have any girl listeners after this episode. I'll tell you that much.
Don't worry, you still have your dog.
Like, what is the DLC like on Mass Effect? Like, is it like just like one little side mission, or is it longer? Or like,
yeah, it's like a side mission, but it's a lot longer. You know, like in Mass Effect 2, where you have to do like the missions for each person.
Yeah.
It's kind of like three of those combined. Like, it's a good chunk. Like. I'd say,
how
like,
how much are they?
They're 560 MS points. So what is that, like $6, $8? I don't know. My conversion.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And is there a bunch of them? Or?
Yeah, no. They've released about three or four of them. So each one is good, dude. I'm telling you. They're definitely worth it. I can't wait to get into the next one. But for now, I'm going to just pump this one out before I get to the other ones.
That's what she said.
Yeah, doggy.
Alright, Jeff, what have you been up to?
Just finishing up stuff from last week, like Metroid. I'm at the end of that. Last night I beat Dead Rising K-Zero, which is totally awesome. I recommend everyone buy that.
It's only $5, if you guys remember, right?
Yeah, I don't know if you guys remember. I said like, oh no, I'm not gonna get it or whatever. But yeah, it's $5, and it's good, man. It's a good little like mini Dead Rising, you know.
Now, like with that, like if you weren't really interested in Dead Rising 2, would that be enough to maybe push you towards spending $60 on it?
Maybe not if I had played Dead Rising 1 and didn't like it, I guess. But, like, if I just didn't know anything about the series and tried it out, definitely. Like,
okay.
It's a very cool little... If you like Dead Rising, you're going to love it. Like, I've replayed it. I'm going my third time now. Like, I beat it on my second playthrough. And on the third time, I'm just going for achievements.
Nice.
But, yeah, it's awesome. Oh. It has a very cool ending to it, too.
For the K-0 one?
Yeah.
You can level up to what, like level 5 and transfer that over?
Yep, and like you could, gotcha. There's I think like 8 or 9 different combo weapons you can make in the game, and you get combo cards for that. You could carry those over too.
Nice.
So what was like the coolest thing you made?
You know what, I didn't make that too many like interesting things. Like the spiked bat, the bat with the nails in it is very effective and like very useful. And plus it's readily available. It's like at your starting point, like your safe house.
Okay.
Like, so every time you like go back there, there's another bat instead of nails for you. But
nice.
I'm forgetting some of the stuff. You know, I did the drill bucket. Probably one of the cooler ones you actually get when... I don't want to say too much, but like there's a pitchfork with a shotgun. You, like, stick the pitchfork into the zombie, lift him up, and then shoot him with the shotgun.
That sounds like it could
be
fun.
That's awesome, dude. Do you get all the weapons and, like, the whole map of the second one, or what? How does that work?
It's just, you're in a little, like, town outside of where the second one's going to take place. So it could kind of be, like, the first, like, chapter of the second one. If it, you know, it could have been, like, part of the game, I think, but... It is its own, like, self-contained little game. Like, basically, the whole deal is, like, your daughter is infected, and you have to get her this medicine to keep her not from turning into a zombie. And you have, like, a certain amount of time to do that, but also you guys gotta, like, get out of the town before the military arrives. So, like what you're mostly doing is trying to find parts to build a bike. And you have to, like, help survivors and stuff to do that. And there's some the survivors and like the enemies and shit are just as funny as the first one.
So like that sense of humor that was in the first one's still there.
Yeah, like one of the survivors like is a pair of drunks that like hole up in a bar and they're just sitting there getting wasted. And like the one guy won't leave with you unless you give him two like drinks. So I gave him like two whiskeys and then he pukes all over you. He's like, okay, I'm ready to go.
Nice.
Now, last week you said you weren't sure that the like the item combination would be able to replace the picture taking. What do you think about that now? Like,
I like the item combination. I just like it adds to like the humor of the game. Just the fact that you know, like the first one, that you could just fuck around with, like you could kill someone with a plant or something, you know. But
right,
so it just adds to that. But I still think, well, I'll miss taking pictures because okay. That was fun.
And how's Metroid coming along?
I'm at the end, and I'm like, I think the end. I think I spoiled it for myself by looking up like a guide, but like, I'm stuck on this boss. It's just like impossible. I don't know if I want to like spoil anything, but it involves the title characters.
Okay.
And they're fucking energy sucking asses. I hate them.
Nice.
So, another frustrating end to a Metroid game.
Yeah, but I really liked the game. I thought it was really cool. Especially in the later moments when you have all your power-ups. And, like, enemies that once took you, like, forever to kill, you could just screw jump into them or screw attack them. And they die instantly. It's, like, fucking awesome.
It sounds like we've convinced Tony to at least try it, so...
Yeah, I think I have to give that a playthrough at some point.
I forgot, probably were you, like... Were you, like, a Metroid fan, or what?
I've actually never played a Metroid game.
Hmm.
So this could be my chance.
Neither have I, dude.
Really? Like, you've never... Neither of you is a Metroid game?
I've, you know, I fingered it a little bit. You know, I give it a little bit of a lube job, but, I mean, I've never, like,
Oh my god.
Figured it a little.
I gave it a little bit of the old just a tip, but I mean, I've never fully like gone in. I've never really owned one, to be honest. I remember I've never owned an NES, and was there even a Metroid game for the N64?
Yes.
No,
there wasn't. Oh wait, it was. I'm sorry, Super NES.
Super Metroid was on the Super.
I never had any of those, and I never really played my GameCube, so I've never really gotten into the Metroid series, to be honest. Okay. I don't know. It just, I guess, never appealed to me, but I heard Other M is the shizzle dizzle, so I really might want to try it.
Cool.
Yeah.
I would honestly recommend Super Metroid, but...
Yeah, I might get that.
Yeah, you can get that on the virtual console, so...
Yeah, exactly, so...
Maybe give that a try first, and if you like that, move on.
Yeah.
Because this kind of, like, picks up... The opening cutscene of this is kind of right at the end of Super Metroid. It's pretty cool.
You know, I could see it like this one drawing people into the series a little bit, but I don't know. It's like it's kind of demanding. It's like it expects you to know all the Metroid conventions, though. You know?
Yeah. Which is a lot of exploration, and like it's sometimes like you'll just get in a room. It's like I don't know where to go next. Like. But anything else, Jeff?
No, I've just been playing those two. I tried out Mafia 2 today, whatever. And some more Sons of Anarchy. Oh, and I saw Dakota Fanning and Kristen Stewart make out in that stupid Runaways movie.
Yeah, dude, wonderful. Is Dakota Fanning even like 18? Can she do that?
I don't know, man. It was very uncomfortable. Because she is developing kind of nicely.
Is she?
Say. Kind of, I mean, she still looks young, dude. That's like, it's very uncomfortable. The movie is like, sucks, and it's like, that makes it more uncomfortable to watch.
So, avoid the Runaways, alright.
Yeah.
Check on that one. Yeah, so, I played Vanquish.
Yeah. How was that?
Okay.
It's a Gears of War made by people from Japan.
Sold.
I mean, it's really... Some of the comments I heard when the demo came out last week, or maybe the week before, was that it's like Gears of War mixed with Devil May Cry. I didn't really get the Devil May Cry type feel to it, but there's a definite Japanese feel. Like, it is a cover-based shooter. You select your weapons on the D-pad, like, you know, rifle, machine gun. And
yeah. I don't really understand the concept. Like, I guess he's supposed to be American.
Yeah, it's like you're fighting, there's some Russians, like that. Mm-hmm. The demo just kind of throws you out there, though. Like, yeah. There's no context for what the hell you're doing.
No, you're an ex-football player that blew his knees out, yet you're doing, like, a 200-yard fucking knee slide, like, slow motion, guns are blazing, like... Okay, I guess this makes sense. It's in Japan.
Exactly. You know,
freaking pedo bears from there, so everything makes sense. So, I don't know. It's just, it's nuts. Like, you know, it's what you expect from them, you know? It's just, it's flashy, it's fun, but to me, it seems like a rental because, you know, once you have that one playthrough, I don't think you have any sort of... reason to go back to it. So, I mean, it's probably going to be a great game, but I don't see why I'd want to.
I think it'll be fun. Like, I enjoy that type of... I enjoy, like, the cover-based shooting, but unlike in Gears where there's, like, the enemies just seem like they fit. Like, the conflicts are... They seem like they match up with their... In this, like, they're throwing enemies at you. Except they go down very quickly. Like, it's not like... You know, like when you're in a standoff with the Locust and Gears, like, you need to, like, you know, jump up a little bit, take a couple shots, get down. And then, like, you just keep playing that back-and-forth game of, like, cover, out of cover. In this, it's, like, basically, like, just take aim at their heads and shoot at them. And, like, they'll blow up because they're robot-type things, so... It didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And then, all of a sudden, you start fighting this giant mech. Like,
yeah.
Huge mech, and it's like... very generic in the way it you approach it. It's like, shoot its legs. Oh, the legs are down. Now shoot its core. Okay, you busted up the core. Oh, now it's changing again. It's in its second mode. Okay, shoot its legs. Oh, now shoot the core. Okay, you're done. And then the demo's over, and like I finished it in like 11 minutes. So, and
it's not very long.
Yeah, I probably took longer than I needed to because I was just kind of like screwing around. You could probably finish that level very quickly. It looks good. I mean, if you like Gears and you're looking for that,
it's eye candy, dude.
Yeah,
for sure.
If you're looking for that type of game this fall, it might be a game you want to pick up, but I mean, there's so many other great games that I just can't see putting this in front of like something else that's coming out that I already want.
Makes sense.
But yeah, I mean, it looks like it'll be fun. So there's that. And then I've been playing NHL 11.
Of course.
Yeah, it's
how are the Flyers? Are they?
I haven't even started. Like the way it starts out, it puts you in this tutorial right away. There are some new features in it, which aren't talked about in a certain website's review. and so they kind of just walk you right through how to do these things, and basically before you can move on, like you have to like kind of at least get it done once. It's like. Win a face-off, like, doing this. Win a face-off, doing that. Like, the last one, the one I had the most trouble with, was knock the player off the puck and then gain control of it. And then it, like, gets you in, you're in the menu. But I just decided to go right from there into the Be a Pro mode, where you kind of create your own character and you start out. So, yeah, I've been playing with, like, my character and... I don't know if you guys ever played like the NCAA series for football, where you start out in like the high school championship tournament.
Right.
Well, this puts you in like the junior, like the championship tournament for junior hockey. But they're real teams instead of like you just create your own high school. Like these are like, there's like the real teams that are in junior hockey. They licensed all of them. They licensed the players.
Holy shit!
So there's a ton of content here.
Nice.
The review on IGN said that the game seemed slower, and I heard that complaint from a couple other people who played the demo. I don't get that sense playing the game. If you have a fast player, he moves fast. There's no turbo button. It's like the players are, they skate the way they should skate, and the game feels like it moves the way it should. So it's really good. I'll be putting more time into it, but we'll see how the Flyers go. I'll let you guys know if they're extra special slow this year or or not. But now it seems like everything is top shape. So.
Yeah, my friend is a huge Bruins fan, so he fucking hates the Flyers, dude. He's not a fan.
It's all right. Lots of people hate the Flyers. Like,
yeah, that's what I hear. I hear that you guys are pretty dirty as fans.
We're not dirty. We're not.
I mean, Philadelphia is a pretty dirty city in general. So,
I won't dispute that. The city in general is dirty. Like, but the sports fans in Philadelphia, they're a knowledgeable bunch, except for basketball, because nobody goes to watch basketball. But. At least here, because the Sixers suck.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, hockey, baseball, football, like they know their stuff here. Even if the football fans are slightly mentally handicapped, but
they booed Santa. You can't get any worse than that.
We didn't just boo Santa. I think we threw snowballs at him. They also threw batteries at players.
Oh God. So.
Yeah, but I mean, Chicago has theirs, and you know.
Hey, man, my Sox. You know, we run out in the field. We support the team.
What? Our fans run out on the field too, but they just get tasered by our police department. So.
Do you guys remember that though? Like, White Sox fan ran out. I don't know if it was like nationwide story, but like White Sox fan ran out on the field, punched like the third base coach in the face.
Are you serious? That's awesome.
Oh, that's great. So, yeah, so I was playing that, and I saw Machete this past weekend. It's okay. It's a Robert Rodriguez movie. Starring Danny Trejo.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't like it as much as Planet Terror, which was the movie he did with Tarantino for Grindhouse. But it's fun. It's very there's definitely some political messaging from Rodriguez in the film about open borders and.
Ooh, no.
It's very overt too. So.
Freaking liberals think they can put all their movie stuff in there.
I mean, he can put whatever he wants in there, but it kind of like seems a little bit out of place in this movie where like you have this ex-Mexican like cop who's like gutting people and jumping like out of a window using the guy's intestines.
Oh god. Well, I mean that's what you expect though from a Rodriguez film, right?
Yeah, you expect that, but you don't really expect the political commentary to go along with it. So some people are going to hate it, some people are going to like it. I enjoyed it, I didn't love it. Because it's a little boring in parts, so.
Nice.
But, yeah, I'll have a review of that up on Vagary at some point this week. I'm just lazy right now, so.
You were like the Vagary fiend. Like, does anyone else do reviews for that site?
So, well, Ryan asked me to post the movie reviews over there. So
no, I'm saying go you. Maybe I should get in on that. So, well, but probably no one wants to hear what I have to review.
That's true.
All right. You guys want to take a break or jump into some news?
All right.
I could
use a beer. You didn't answer a question.
just like, all right.
Okay, let's do it.
Break! Either one, all right. We are back. Got a little bit of news going on. Not much. PAX was last week, but not a ton of stuff came out of there. But we still got some stuff to talk about. I actually got some sports news to talk about. I think it's near and dear to Fozzie's heart.
It is. it tears at me.
Matt Leinart was released from the Cardinals this past week.
You know, and should I just start now, or should I let you guys talk before I get going?
Well, we can give the happy news. He was signed by...
yeah, he was picked up again.
The 49ers to be their third-string quarterback. So he's gone from being the presumptive heir to Kurt Warner's starting job to the emergency quarterback for a terrible team.
Leinart is third string?
He is third string. He's the guy who only plays if the first two guys get injured.
Fine fucking Schwab.
It's like a... No, he signed with the Texans.
Yeah.
That was the Texans, right?
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, David Carr isn't there anymore. Isn't it Matt Schwab or whatever the hell his name is now?
Matt Schwab. And I believe he might be... They might be having him work. Right now, he's probably going to be that second.
The third string.
Yeah, the third. But
he'll work his way up. There's no way. He's got too much talent to not...
They're not going to have Dan Orlovsky, be the backup to Schwab all season long. If Schwab goes down, Leinart's the one going in.
It was funny though hearing Leinart's stories from the preseason about teams just yelling out he's going to check down before he was throwing any of his passes. It was just sad. Like, he could not see the field at all.
It's weird though, because the preseason he completed 81% of his passes,
and they were all checkdowns.
Yeah, but he played.
Hey, it got the job done.
Then with Derek Anderson, is that who is now the quarterback in Arizona?
Right.
I don't know. It's there seemed like there were some other issues at play there as well.
Well, I think it also came down to the fact that they had two rookie quarterbacks and they wanted to keep both of them. And then Leinart's salary was pretty high for a player who's just going to not play.
Right.
So you got to figure you don't pay that contract unless you have to.
Yeah.
And then he's got the attitude problem, which didn't help.
No. No one at USC has an attitude problem. We're all nice little Southern boys.
Well, you got to figure he's been God's gift to football since, you know, probably since he was a freshman.
Well, I mean,
or before. Yeah. And now he's not even the starter, so... That's got to cause some issues with his whole mental makeup and just make him not a very nice person to be around.
All right, so are we ready for my ungodly rant?
Go ahead, let it go, Foss.
Okay, all right. Well, yeah, he came from high school in Mater Dei High in California, which is one of the powerhouses, you know? The only other one I can think of is De La Salle. But anyways, so basically this guy has been surrounded by talent, and that's the problem with some of these high-paid rookies. Which is why I believe that there should be a rookie should not be paid like all these guaranteed fucking $30 million and stuff. They should be paid like $500,000 or whatever the minimum is when they come out. And then after 3 years, that's when they get their big money, you know? So they get paid for their performance, you know, once they're out there. So anyways, and so Leinart, I mean, to give it to the guy credit, he went 36-2 at USC. I mean, that's one of the best records that any college QB has ever had. But at the same time, you look at what he did, all he did really was do drop off passes to Reggie Bush and let that dude unleash it like 60 yards for a touchdown. He really didn't make that many spectacular throws. And when he did, most of the guys were wide open because our talent was so good, like. And then finally, when he went to a shitty team like the Cardinals, reality kicked in and he didn't have that cushion of like 5 seconds because the O-line was like blocking like champs. It was just like everyone's on an even playing field and he couldn't handle it, I guess. So
I think calling the Cardinals a shitty team has given him a pretty short stick. I mean, Kurt Warner did okay.
He did okay, but he was a veteran. Like, I mean, without him, they haven't really done much. I mean... And, I mean, yeah, that's true. I mean, they've had, what, Larry Fitzgerald, Anquan
Boldin.
So, I mean, it's not like the cupboard was empty, but it wasn't like USC because, I mean, USC from 03 to 06 or whatnot, I mean, they were getting 5-star recruits out the ass. Like, anyone that was in California was going to USC. There's no doubt about it. So, I mean, when you're playing with that level of competition and you don't really play SEC teams, you don't really see like that much. Like the Pac-10 back then was kind of shitty. Like they're not like they are now with Oregon starting to step it up. So, I mean, USC was kind of in a league of their own back in those days. So, I mean, I think that reality just kicked in once he was in the NFL and the playing level was kind of evenly matched. He, like you said, he checks down a lot. He's not very confident in his own throws. And his work attitude, to be honest, is pretty lazy. So, I mean, it's, you know, it sucks, you know. And I don't want to say that because Matt Leinart was one of the best players USC's ever had. But, you know, some people just don't make it in the NFL. That's just how it is. College is completely different from the NFL. So,
well, I think you sure there? You got it all?
I could kept going, but we'll leave it at that.
All right, well, we got a little bit more USC news going on, too.
Yeah.
Evidently, that guy that Leinart would toss the ball to all the time. Reggie Bush is going to have his Heisman Trophy taken away from him.
That's a report. It's not official yet.
It's not official. But
I think the Heisman Committee denied the report today. They said they hadn't finished making their decision yet.
Yeah.
But USC has already sent the trophy back. So.
Yeah, we did. It's funny because like our media guide, we used to have like 7 Heisman trophies on it. Just like last week, we put 6 now. Like, it kind of sucks because when you think about it, Reggie Bush did do a lot for us, but it's almost like we have to completely disown him. And I think what's even funnier is that, okay, we shun Reggie Bush so much, like he's out of our system, but we still have O.J. Simpson's jersey up there. We still have his Heisman. We still have all his national championship stuff. So it's like, well, you can get... Well, I guess he didn't get convicted for murder, but, I mean, it's kind of the writing's on the wall there.
He's in jail now anyway. So.
Yeah, he's in jail now.
That's so. Right.
He's done other things. It's not it's not limited to one.
Yeah, it's not just limited to one thing. Apparently, he's done bad. But I just think it's funny, like, you know, I mean, Reggie Bush, I mean, he did do some fucked up things, but in the end, you're a college kid, and you're looking to get some more cash from a sketchy agent. I mean... That's just a business in college football these days. Any powerhouse program is corrupt. I don't care how squeaky clean you think you are. It's just a matter of time. It's just when will your program get caught? Because you do not have 5-star recruits and have agents coming out the ass to try and get them to come to your, you know, to sign you and everything. So it's very sketchy in general. The NCAA is kind of just like a Nazi regime, and they just...
I think it's a fair point. I mean, the NCAA likes to sit up on their high horse and talk about how this is all about, you know, academics and scholarship and, you know, putting athletes through. And then they just randomly crack down on these big programs every once in a while to remind them that we're out there, that,
It's not doing anything.
Right, they're not actually policing the sport.
They're punishing
just randomly tossing people. Things out. They're punishing... one university for what 20 are doing, but this just happens to be USC. It's the highest profile one, so we'll take them down a peg. Maybe it'll get the message out to the other ones, but I doubt it because the NCAA is not going to take the steps necessary to make it a more permanent solution to the problem. They're just going to arbitrarily bounce out every once in a while.
I think, I don't know, it's just like the thing that pisses me off most is that these young kids that are finally wanting to, you know, go to USC and everything, and they're getting completely punished. All these juniors and seniors that won't be able to go to a bowl game because of something that happened when they were in middle school. I mean, are you serious? I mean, there should be like a time limit or something, you know?
Let's be fair though. I mean, they've been at USC the whole time taking the benefit of the system, you know? It's not as if they're completely not culpable at all. They just don't happen to be culpable in this act.
What's the Simpson? It was one rogue guy, you know? Punish him.
It's not one rogue guy, though. You know that's not true. Yeah, you just said it yourself. It's inherent in the system.
They're taking, like, Bush is basically, here's our big example. Like,
okay, but yeah, Bush acted out on his own. And the only person that might have known about it was the running backs coach. So that is kind of sketchy in that aspect. And you're right. I mean, who knows? Maybe Pete Carroll knew about it the whole time, but you don't know that for sure. I mean, they're punishing people based on loose evidence. Like, the evidence isn't even out there to, like, you know, say that there is lack of institutional control. I think that they're just like, they're like, well, I mean, they can't really complain. I mean, they had it coming, I guess, but
right, here's the problem. Why is there no evidence out there? The evidence is not out there because the NCAA does not make an effort strong enough to collect that evidence.
Do you even know the
people? It's so obvious to see that these stars are they're from dirt poor
families.
Yeah,
but you need evidence to prosecute them. I mean, look, do you even know these agents that were, like, hanging out with Reggie Bush? They are some of the sketchiest people ever. They've been to jail before and whatnot. Like, I don't know why he decided to associate with him, but, I mean, punish Reggie Bush, you know? I mean, good takeaway.
What we're talking about here is that this isn't just about what Reggie Bush did. This is a bigger problem than that. Reggie Bush is just one symptom of a huge, huge issue.
What,
and
in
the
USC
fact that they just happen to...
Just in the NCAA in general.
Oh, okay, sure.
And I think to focus on... The wrong part here is to just focus on Reggie Bush. Like, if you're going to punish him, fine, but you have to punish everyone else as well.
Yeah.
And I think it's wrong to focus on Reggie Bush and say, you know what, Reggie Bush is a terrible person for doing what everybody else was doing.
Yeah.
Right, just, he happened to get caught.
I mean, they're starting to crack down a lot this season. I mean, the Georgia receiver who sold, like, some of his jerseys or something, he's suspended 4 or 5 games, and he's one of the best receivers in the college football. And then
North Carolina has, like, 12
players. Yeah, North Carolina is basically playing second string for the first 4 games. I mean, it's just, I don't know. College players bring in so much money to university. Maybe it's time we start paying them a little bit, you know?
Well, I think that's one of the big issues is that NCAA football especially is basically minor league NFL.
I mean,
at this point,
it's a farm
system. The cream
system
rises to the top. And, I mean, that's fine. I have no problem with that. But let's call it what it is as opposed to pretending that there's some sort of higher academic purpose.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like, I wish that people would just play college football, and that is how it is. But in the end, people are still human. If you give a kid that's never had anything in his life, you give him a brand new caddy. I mean, come on, man. He's going to take it.
True.
Dude, I went to FSU, and I remember I would see football players coming in these brand new fucking Cadillacs with 24-inch rims, and I'm like, there's no way you are working a job where you can pay for that and do full scholarship football. That is bullshit. Like, I mean, the whole system is corrupt. But in the end, like you said, it's all about being caught. Reggie Bush was, unfortunately, he was caught, and it fucked us over big. So, that's all I really want to talk about there.
All right, so
we'll go into it more than enough.
We'll get back to we'll talk some pro football a little bit later. But let's move on to some other news here.
Do some gaming for once. I feel like I'm on, like, a freaking NFL or NCAA podcast.
Well,
Where's Jeff? Has Jeff, like,
I'm here.
Jeff's evaporated.
I didn't know what Reggie Bush did, though. So I know that he was getting stripped of his Heisman, but I didn't know.
Yeah, he just basically took legal benefits. Like,
he got blowjobs for free.
Yeah, he received money from an agent, then he screwed over that agent saying, oh, I'm not going to sign with you. So the agent kind of just, like, ratted him out to the NCAA.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
He gave him something like $300,000 in gifts.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, you owe me those back because you didn't sign with us.
I mean, God knows he couldn't wait 2 fucking years and sign, like, a $100 million Nike contract. No. Let's fuck over USC.
All right. The last piece of news I got is not gaming news. Sorry, Foz, but... the Dark Tower, Stephen King's Dark Tower series, is going to be made into a movie and TV shows by Ron Howard and Akiva Goldsman. Ron Howard is on Happy Days. He's also directed. He was on Happy Days.
What's Happy Days?
What's Happy Days?
Back when people named the Fonzie were cool and hip.
He's also an Academy Award winning director, and he's good. He makes decent films, makes some not so decent films as well. But it's a yeah, it's interesting though to see that coming out at this point. It won't be for a few years though.
Do you know what network it's attached to?
It was picked up by Universal Pictures and NBC Universal, so I guess NBC. That's kind of scary for me though, because it's a very adult series.
It's like the Heroes version of Dark Tower.
I'm kind of scared for this TV portion of it. The movies could turn out okay, but
It's movies and TV or what?
Movies and TV. They're making a film trilogy and a TV series based on it. I don't exactly know how this all works out. They haven't figured it all out, and they haven't cast any. You know, there's no casting yet. So it seems like it's going to be a weird project. I've always kind of hoped that like HBO or somebody like that would pick up the series, because it kind of deserves more of an adult take. Something that like NBC can't give you. But
like a lot of Stephen King's miniseries on TV are bad just because they're on networks. Like,
yeah.
And it was like the 90s and shit. Like, it, if you go back and watch it, it's pretty bad, dude.
Yeah.
Even, like, I could watch The Stand, but they're all just really sketchy, man.
Yeah, it's like, you almost kind of wish, like, I kind of wish, like, maybe AMC or HBO or Showtime or even Stars, for that matter, like, had picked this up as opposed to a... like it being on like NBC or ABC or like regular network television. But I'm interested in the movies. So
as we talked about before, I want to see The Talisman made into like a miniseries. Last I heard, HBO had it and they're going to do it. But like for like a decade before that, Steven Spielberg had it for like TV and he did nothing with it. So
when we were talking before we came back to recording, I said that J.J. Abrams and Damon Lindelof, who they produced Lost, created and produced Lost, they actually had the rights to this for a while. King actually sold it to them for like pocket change, and I guess the rights have reverted back to King, and now he sold it on to Howard and Goldsman. They've been talking about making this series into something for quite some time. It's quite possible that nothing ever comes of this. Yeah, so that's out there, and it's a pretty big name, Ron Howard being attached to it. So, all right, Tony, what do you got?
Some gaming news. Yeah. Some interesting stuff going on. One of my favorite stories of the week. Apparently, Jonathan Blow, he's the lead designer of Braid. He has a new game coming out sometime next year called The Witness. And apparently it was at PAX this weekend, except nobody knew. His brilliant viral marketing idea was to just have an unmarked computer and a chair sitting there with no one around it, and have people come and sit down and experience The Witness, except no one did. I had no idea it was at PAX until PAX was over. I'm pretty sure no one else did either.
Fozzie, both of us went to PAX East.
Sure.
If you saw a computer and a chair, would you have touched it?
No.
Exactly.
Like, I would be like, get your German-infested virus away from me immediately.
This was a stupid idea.
It would have been cool.
Have you seen pictures
if, like,
too? It's like surrounded by all these other booths with like all these colors and all these people like standing around and attracting people.
Right.
And it's just this one like blank black computer.
Now, what would have been cool is like if they had like some Secret Service guys buy it, you know, like, and then people would have been curious. But a random computer there with no one like around it, that just sounds stupid. But like if they had some Secret Service, I'd just be like, whoa. What's going on over there? And they'd be like, whoa, you can't touch that. And I'd be like, yeah, well. And then I would try it out.
Or you could have, like, you could have people, like, paid to come play it and, like, sit there and be loud about it. Like, yeah, holy shit, you know?
Hey, guys, check this out. This game's the shit.
I feel like this happens a lot, though. There's some really good games out there that don't get played because the people who make them have nothing to do with the marketing. You know, they have no idea what they're doing.
What you realize is, yeah, when you're walking around like the convention center, sometimes it's so depressing when you go like into like the back corners and there's like those one or two developers that like they're probably like so desperate to get people to come like try out their games. I'm like, oh, I really want to try it, but it probably sucks.
I can't think of the name. It was like Afrobot or something like that at PAX East. It was this terrible it's a WiiWare game. I don't even know if it's been released yet, but where you played as like this 70s disco dude with an afro. And you were a robot, and it was just terrible. And they were basically like pulling people in to like play it. Like I went, and they were like, "Oh, do you want to play the game?" Like, I actually have an appointment with you, but okay. Like, and Sega had a booth like that at PAX East as well, where that was their own fault actually, but they had Bayonetta and Shadow of. There was some RPG game that had just come out. Both games were already out at the time, and it was like, why do you even have a booth? Like, why did you pay to have a booth in here? And, like, the poor Sega dude's like, please come play our game. So what else you got, Tony?
If you've been following the whole NBA Jam saga, when the game was first announced, it was announced as a Wii-exclusive game. And then they broadcast that it would be packaged with NBA Elite for the PS3 and the Xbox. And now they announced today that while the Xbox 360 and PS3 versions will have online multiplayer, there's no online multiplayer for the Wii version. So not only are you getting a game that's not in HD, you're getting a game with no online multiplayer. So congratulations, Wii, for getting the crappiest version of NBA Jam.
Right.
And it's the most expensive, too.
It's a full retail release for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the PS3 and 360 versions are pre-order bonuses, basically, for NBA Elite.
They're free.
Terrible.
The funny part is that for EA, a lot of their sports games for the Wii have online multiplayer. Like, I know Tiger Woods does. But for whatever reason, they just figured, you know, we don't really need it for this one. Screw the Wii.
It does not make any sense, but I do not know.
Right?
I'm waiting for an Xbox Live version of that.
Yeah.
That I'll pay for.
Yeah, like 10, 15 bucks, I would pay for that. Nope.
I'd be all over it. I think they'll figure that out, too, once they notice that Elite is getting killed in sales by NBA 2K.
Yeah, like, might as well. Over. And the Wii version sold, like, 3 copies. Like, might as well put this on Xbox Live.
So, yeah, I just don't see that Wii version selling a whole lot at all. Especially if you own... multiple, like if you own like multiple consoles, you're not going to spend $50 on that game,
right? You get the version that's in standard definition that has no achievement points, and
that sounds amazing. I want it.
Well, at least there's one of you, Foss. I hope you have some friends to come play it with, though.
One copy.
I know, right? God, that just sounds horrible. For shame. I had such high hopes for it, too. Oh, well.
Alright, we got another one of my pet stories of the week. An Xbox Live player was adding his address to his account and was banned by Microsoft because he is from Fort Gay, West Virginia. Apparently someone reported him, and then he called Microsoft customer service and they threatened to permaban him for insisting that Fort Gay was a real place. And Microsoft never bothered to actually, you know, look it up.
Yeah, they told him that they could not help him at all.
Sorry, you're from Fort Gay. We can't do anything for you.
It just seems like there's some sort of like weird communication breakdown between customer support and what the people at Xbox actually want, like the people at like the Microsoft Xbox team actually want. Because like, something like this should never have happened.
Well, you got to figure it's probably just one dumb customer service person.
Yeah, like, who probably does not work there anymore. Like, that's how they made it right.
Right. We made it right. We fired his ass.
We're really sorry we got rid of that person.
Giggity.
But the fact that it became such a big story to begin with, like they weren't able to head this off. Like yeah. They made the guy so angry that he went and called a bunch of, you know, reporters up and made sure the story got out there.
He contacted the mayor. Like the mayor of Fort Gay, like contacted Microsoft and was like, "No, we actually exist.
This is the mayor of Fort Gay. We exist and we are fabulous.
We're real people here." I could just hear like the representative going, "Oh, sure, you're real people.
I'm sure you're right next to Gay Town."
Sure, Mr. Mayor Gay something.
Is Rainbow Bright there with you?
Double rainbow.
That's just tragic. That's what you get when you have your customer support though, like not based here, so I don't know if that's true or not.
You think it was some Filipino or somebody in India?
Every time I've called, I've gotten somebody from India or somebody that was from India.
Don't be racist, please.
I'm not. Like, I'm just saying, like, I got every time I call Microsoft support, it's like somebody from India.
Me too, except for the last time. I actually got someone, he sounded like he was from America.
Yeah, I'm not saying that maybe the call center isn't here, just saying that every time I call, I get some Indian guy. They're always very polite to me, though. They've never told me I don't exist.
I got a dick once. He was telling me that he couldn't fix my red ring. He's like, no, we can't do that. I'm like, all right, I'm going to go online. I just did it online. They sent me the box. That was it.
No, we can't fix that. Okay, well.
I know you can't.
I'm not asking you to fix it. I just want your company to do it. Well, now they won't. Me and Tony next week won't have to worry about the red rings anymore.
That's right.
So,
red rocket.
Because ours won't actually be able to do it.
Because they removed that from the console. Because heaven forbid.
Like, no more red ring.
So I'm worried. Like, I wonder what happens now with it. Like, if it could still break down. Because I have a new one too.
And your warranty's only 1 year now. So.
Right. You don't get the red rings.
Oh, it's only 1 year now? Bastards. Yeah.
Well, they run so less hot though now. I mean, they've improved it so much. The hardware is just so much better.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You don't have to worry about it.
They actually get very hot, but I think it's because the heat is actually escaping.
Right.
So it's probably
they cool out the top now as opposed to one
on the sides.
I don't know how it's, but yeah,
it's probably like the PS3s get toasty down there, but but yeah, it's the insides seem fine on the PS3. So, oh well. What's your you have one more, right?
I got one last piece of news. We have a player who is prestiged in Modern Warfare 2 five times already. So he's going for a sixth time, but he's decided to do it without getting a single kill. So he's been working on, I don't know, shooting down drones and that kind of thing to get up there. He's past level 25. He thinks it might take him up to 2 months, but he's going for it. He's Mr. No Kills. That's his handle on PS3.
Oh, it's the PS3. Hmm.
Yeah, no. If you're on the Xbox Live, you won't see him. But he's on the PS3 and he's slogging his way through. I can't imagine trying to do this. I mean,
so he obviously doesn't have martyrdom on.
No.
That he was talking about, he was using like smoke grenades or something, but apparently if somebody's injured enough and you hit them with a grenade, you could kill them. So he had to change up some of the stuff he was doing to get points. because there was the chance that he could accidentally kill somebody. And you got to figure, if you're playing a game for 2 months, at some point, whatever that freaky thing is that could happen is going to happen.
Well, I think he's now changed to playing like objective-based games, like what the hell is the one, like Headquarters.
I think the game he plays is Domination.
Yeah. So he can go get like the flags and
Exactly.
The headquarter points. So
that'd probably be the only way to do it, really.
It just seems really boring.
Yeah. Hours and hours hiding in the corner or something.
I mean, of course, the dude has played. He's already prestiged 5 times, so.
he already plays too much Modern Warfare.
It's like his only game.
Yeah, I just don't have the attention span to actually do that, so.
I would like to prestige once first, please.
Yeah, that was one of my goals this year. Didn't happen.
Yeah, same here. And
it's not going to happen.
Yeah, for shame.
You've prestiged, right, Jeff?
Yeah, but with the help of my girlfriend, mostly.
Nice.
So, like, she played for you?
She played a lot. She's really good at it, too. She's, like, way better than me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's embarrassing.
So if I'm on there and I get killed by just some dude it's not you?
No. Well, she's got her own Xbox now. She's out of here. But, like,
the
funny
dude.
Thing is, though, I'll kick her ass on Halo. I don't give a shit.
That's next week, man. Next week.
Can't wait.
I'm getting good at it. I've been doing some training.
Sweet.
Not making any promises, but.
You get a perfectly sane community game night for all our 10 listeners out there.
Yeah. Well, I think I suggested to, I don't know if it was Dubs or Ryan that we.
Have verses or something?
Yeah, we take them on.
I'll whoop their ass.
Teabag Radio's going down. You heard it here first.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll be setting that up. And we'll put the video up for everyone to see. So you can share the files. So definitely be doing that. But, all right, so before we get on to some listener mail that Fozzy has collected.
Yes.
I'm going to try a little thing for the next, like, is it about next 19 weeks or so, I guess, during the NFL season? We're gonna make some picks, kind of like they do on, game day or whatever on Fox. And we're going to see how we all do throughout the course of the year. So we got 4 games. We all picked out a game. Let's just go through. So, Tony, you the game you picked out this week was the Bengals at the Pats.
Bengals at Patriots, yeah. Got my boys playing.
Who wants to start this one off?
You guys go ahead.
I chose this game, so I gotta go with my Patriots. They got a young team this year on defense, but I think they're gonna. I mean, any team with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick is gonna make some noise.
Guy is such a douche.
Yeah, and the Bengals have not looked good in preseason, so I'm going with my Pats.
All right. I got to go with the Patriots too. I don't know if they're gonna end up winning the division this year, but I think they're better than the Bengals at this point. So, what do you got there, Jeff?
Yeah, oh, that's easy. Pats.
Okay.
All right,
Fozzie, what do you got?
Yeah, I would probably go with Pats, but my undying hatred for any Northeastern team refuses for me to pick them, so I'll go with the Bengals. They might not be good on defense, but who knows? Maybe this crazy team of Chad Ocosinko and Terrell Owens will step it up and shit. So
it's Ocho Cinco, my friend. Ocho Cinco.
What'd I say?
Oco Cinco.
Yeah, same thing.
You should look it up on Wikipedia.
I'll kill you.
It's like I just still call him Chad Johnson, but.
Yeah.
All right. Yes. Game I picked out was Miami at Buffalo. This is kind of a softball for hopefully for most of you guys. I'm taking Miami because Buffalo is just a terrible, terrible team. So, what do you got, Tony?
I got to go with Miami. I mean, I love Ronnie Brown. I love the Dolphins. Whole thing they got going on there, and Buffalo is just god awful. So They could be the worst team in the NFL this year.
Yeah.
And they're in the other three teams in their division are all amazingly good. So they're going to look awful.
What division are they in? NFC North?
No, they're in the AFC East. So they're with the Patriots, the Jets, and the Dolphins.
Oh, yeah.
So, Jeff, what do you got?
I'm calling an upset here. No, uh-oh. I don't know. I say, yeah, sure, Miami.
All right. Five.
I love Miami, too.
Okay.
Unlike the Buffalo, poor Dillaweezer has to suffer with them. so, I mean, unlike Buffalo, Miami's actually making steps towards the right direction. I think that they're really seriously one or two key players away from playoffs again. Where they didn't go playoffs last season, right?
Not last. Last year they were 7-9, but they went the year before.
But yeah, they're getting closer though. I think Chad Henne's becoming a pretty reliable QB, so I'll pick them.
And they added Brandon Marshall in the offseason.
He's underrated.
One and
yeah, so I'll go with Miami.
All right, Jeff, your game's up.
Oh, I got Detroit at Chicago, and I'm gonna bet against my hometown Bears because they're looking pretty bad lately. Like,
all right.
I don't know. And usually the last couple of years they usually start off the season with a couple of losses. Just start off on the right note.
I'm also gonna take Detroit. I like Stafford. I think he's going to have a better year this year than he did last year, and I think their offense is going to just walk right over Chicago. Chicago's just a team. They're a mess, like offensively and defensively. Offensively, they're not going to score anything. And defensively, they're old now.
They're old on both sides of the ball, and the offensive line is just shit.
Yeah. It's a
winning combo.
Yeah, it doesn't look very good for them. Tony?
I think I also got to go with Detroit. Chicago has shown a complete ineptitude in scoring in the preseason. Like, they have the new Mike Martz offense, which could only be run by Kurt Warner. So it's been a failure everywhere else. So congratulations on having the worst offensive coordinator in football.
I'm dreading this year.
All right, Fozzie, what do you got?
I got Detroit as well. I mean, the one strong thing that Chicago used to have a few years back was their defense, but like you guys are saying, they're getting old. Jay Cutler that they have now?
Yeah,
he's still a depressed old man, like he's always been pouting everywhere. So he's not going to change anytime soon. So Chicago's not going anywhere. I think they might get 4 wins this season if they're lucky.
Wow.
I hope so they could get rid of the people in charge.
There you go.
It's like, what's so bad about Cutler is when I heard that deal of Orton for Cutler, I was like, oh, that's a good deal for Chicago. Yet no.
Chicago was excited for it, man.
Oh, I haven't seen anything.
Like, I don't see what's so good about him. Like,
Grossman sucks, too. I mean, you guys just switched out 2 shitty QBs, and that's about it.
And Orton's actually, like, serviceable.
Oh, Orton. Yeah, you're right. Sorry.
Orton's a good backup, man.
Yeah, he's not.
Good second
he's not,
string.
Yeah, he is. He's a solid second stringer. Yeah, he's probably, like, the worst compliment you could ever give someone.
But I don't know. Orton went, like, 7-2 in his rookie season. Like, he wins games. He's one.
But he does it by, like, very safe plays. Like, he doesn't have a lot of different skills.
That's like Sanchez won it for the Jets last season, dude. He didn't really win it.
He just didn't lose it.
Yeah, he didn't. He didn't. Which is actually kind of a good thing to have for a QB, you know. Play to your strengths, but I don't know. Orton, I don't see as a Super Bowl winning QB, so.
No.
All right, the last game, Fozzie, you picked this one. So, what do you got?
I was originally going to go with Ravens and Jets, but I decided to pick this one, which is a rematch of the NFC Championship game, and that would be the Saints and Vikings. And I'm going to go Saints all the way, not because I want to hop on the bandwagon, but I just want to see, oh, sweet, glorious Favre get knocked out and just see his precious season just crumple like a little idiot that he is. So he can go cry. Go pout some more, and then decide if he's going to come back for yet another season get paid $20 million and bitch about it.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping Vilma can just get in there and, like, line him up and just end it.
Oh, dude, Saints are going to come hard. Everyone's going to fucking destroy him, dude. So many people are sick of his shit, man. It was cool the first, like, first time, but come on, it's been, like, 3 years now, dude.
So I'm going to take the Saints as well. Jeff, who are you grabbing in this?
Taking the Saints for the reasons that Fozzie listed.
Excellent.
Tony, what do you got?
I also have to go with the Saints. Minnesota has no wide receivers right now. So,
no, they don't.
It's going to be ugly. And they missed out on, like, Hushmanzada and, like, all the last-minute cuts. They seem to miss on most of them. So
Not to mention Peterson has kind of been slowly downgrading now. I mean, he looks such like a badass his freshman year, but I don't know what's happened to him. He's like a fumble machine.
So, all right, well, there's not a lot of variation in our picks this week, but
yeah, right.
We'll see how it goes as the season progresses, and we'll see where Fozzie ends up at the end of this week, because he could either be leading us or
I'm like the one person that decided to pick against y'all.
Yep. So we're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, we're gonna do some reader mail that Fozzie's got set up, and
sure,
wrap this stuff up. Got some listener questions coming in, and Fozzie, why don't you handle it?
First one comes from Snack Packaroonie. He asks, does anyone actually think the new Duke game will be anything but mess of a game? Train wreck material, right? And I think we're pretty much all in the same boat where, yes, this game is going to be god-awful. The Duke Nukem games were great, don't get me wrong, but I don't know. I don't see it being like a Halo type game or something like that.
You can go ahead, Chris.
I just don't know who this game is targeted at this point.
The audience is gone.
What do you mean? It's like our demographic.
Right, but our demographic from, you know, 10 years ago.
Like, yeah, but it's pulling on brand like recognition that doesn't exist.
Yeah, it's hoping that we will still love this game as much as if it would have came out 10 years ago or if it came out today, you know?
I'm gonna take the opposite vote and say I'm kind of interested to play it just because
You would be.
There's not like you could tell it's gonna be like Duke Nukem, which I thought was fun. Like I just played it recently, like a year ago, and I thought it was fun. And it's just gonna be like an old school type of game that you don't see much anymore.
Yeah, you know, I mean, prove me wrong. I'd love to see it, but I don't know. I don't see it being anything less than a mess. And I mean, Epic Games it's a solid game developer, so who knows? Maybe they'll.
I think it's Gearbox.
Gearbox. Which I mean, they made Borderlands and Brothers in Arms, so they are a good developer. But
I think Borderlands is overrated, but sure.
Oh no, but it's still a good game.
What are you excited for this game then?
I think the big issue that they're going to have is that the fact it's been in development for so long. It's 12 years. It's been developed for, what, 3 different console generations now? It's going to be a mess, like, technically. It's going to be an ugly, buggy game.
But it's at least a rental. You know it.
It's like,
yeah, it's
I may have to rent it.
Just to say you played Duke Nukem Forever.
They can't release this. They can't release this game at $60.
No. Some will.
They can't.
They will.
But they've poured like millions and millions.
And people like Jeff will buy it.
It's gonna look like Dead Temptation, Alpha Protocol. It's gonna be. It's gonna look like that.
It's like, I don't know. I remember listening to a podcast on my way back from Jacksonville, and someone was actually saying, I think it was Javi on the Gover podcast, that they almost don't want this game to be released because it's kind of like, you know, it's like the unicorn of video games. It's magical. It's out there. It's always been in development for like 15 years almost now, and you know, it's kind of like the day that it actually gets developed will kind of be sad. It's like, oh man, this game is out now? That sucks. Because it's like you always, like, because every year, that's like the one thing you look forward to is like, oh, let me hear another Duke Nukem update, you know? Because they always do it every year. There's no denying it. It's like, oh, what will be this year's Duke Nukem update? You're like, oh, sweet, a new script? Oh, that's gone. And then, you know, so it's like fun just to like see a game fucked around with. But if they make a decent game, so good for them. But I just don't see it happening.
What else you got?
Okay. This one is from Gigawatt Conduit. He says, what is the most disappointing game of 2010 you've played so far?
Alpha Protocol.
There you go.
That was easy. That game, it was ugly, it was buggy, it was not fun in any way, the story was terrible, the voice acting was atrocious. Yeah, I don't think there was anything good about it. So I gotta go with Alpha Protocol on that.
Nice.
I was gonna say Dante's Inferno, but I wasn't really anticipating that game. So I'm gonna have to go with Crackdown 2. I really liked the first one, and this was not good. It was Crackdown just over again. It's like they released the same game.
Yeah.
Then it asked me to pay $60 for it again.
I think you were you had something came up while you were trying to write your review, and I was like, just copy and paste your review from Crackdown.
Yeah. And it pretty much would have, except. My Crackdown review was, like, positive. because it was 3 years ago.
Right.
It's just the exact same game. It's Crackdown 2, my most disappointing game of 2010 so far.
Jeff? Jeff, you go ahead.
My most disappointing is probably Naughty Bear. Just because they played it on TV at my work, I'm like, we always looked at the commercials like, that looks fucking awesome, you know? And then, like, I got to play it, and I was like, within 5 minutes, I was like, this game is terrible. So I didn't have too much hope invested in it, but you wanted it to be good, because it seemed like it could be fun if they did it good. But
it was a cool idea. Like, that was a cool concept.
But it was terrible.
Fozzie?
Dude, I don't know. I can't think of any off the top of my head, like, full retail games, but... I did not like Risk Factions. I was so excited. I love the Risk games. You know, I'm a huge Risk type guy, and Risk Faction was just god awful. It's the worst. I think it was the worst Xbox Live Arcade game I've ever played. So, I think that's probably the most disappointing for me, in terms of games and whatnot.
I remember you trying to talk me into buying that too.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
I was like, you know, I don't really want to, and then. Now I feel a lot better.
Yeah. Well, you definitely got the bear part of that then.
Wasn't there a cat faction, though?
Yeah, cat faction, but no dog faction, you know, what the fuck.
There were zombies, right, though?
Yeah, I think so. And none of it really made sense, so.
Zombies make everything better.
Yeah.
They really do.
Okay, I've got one more question. This is from our own passed out host of Teabag Radio, Mr. Dubberuski. He says, hey guys, like the show, keep them coming. So aside from me being curious about what games have you been playing?
StarCraft and Dragon Age.
Right. Hey, what games have you been playing again? I wanted to ask if you had to choose from one of these games to play, and that's it for years on end, what game would it be and why? Any Halo game, Uncharted 2, Mass Effect 2, or Bone Town? Sincerely, sincerely, Sober Dub.
Well, I think I live Bone Town every day, right? So I don't really need a game.
What, you beat up Jesus every day? Is that what you're trying to say?
All the time.
Nice. He probably had it coming. Yeah, I would definitely go with Mass Effect 2. There's just so many playthroughs through it that you can never get bored, I think. So.
Yeah, but if I'm going to play a game for the rest of my life, I mean, yeah. I want to have as wide a range of experiences as possible. I mean, even though Mass Effect 2 is like 30 hours, you can play through it in a different ways. Like, eventually you're going to reach a point where it's going to be the same over and over and over again.
So what are you picking?
I got to go with Halo.
Really?
You got the single player campaign, which is awesome. You've got Firefight, which is also amazing. And then the online multiplayer.
Yeah,
but you can play that by yourself, but then you can plug it into the back and you can play online. So you could always play with other people.
Yeah, I guess you never said that you're stuck on an island or something, so.
Right.
All right, I'll give you that.
Yeah, I got to go with Halo as well. I mean, there's just so much to do in that game. Yes. Like with Forge, you can create your own levels and the only thing I wish that Halo would have is the ability to add bots. So
yeah, yes.
They're doing that in Black Ops.
Oh, really?
Yes, they added bots.
That's interesting.
I miss that from games.
Killzone 2 has that.
Yeah.
Unreal Tournament. I love playing against the bots in that game. It was so much fun.
And then when you can play split screen and you can have like other enemies on there, so it's not. I love having four people over, but four people on some of these maps is not enough.
Right.
If you could populate it with like another 4 to 8 bots, that would be great. Foz, you want to explain the question to Jeff again?
You have to play a game for years on end and you have to choose between a Halo game, Uncharted 2, Mass Effect 2, or Bone Town. What would you play?
Probably Halo. If I get to play multiplayer.
Yeah, that's true. I never really thought about multiplayer, so damn you guys.
It's all right.
Fozzie's on his island, and he's all bored, and we're having
fun. I am.
It's like he's on his 37th playthrough of Mass Effect.
I got like a beard going. I'm like, God damn it.
It's like, then he just sees us logging on playing Halo, all three of us. I know. Why are they always playing? God damn it!
Hey, you do for a 4 for Firefight. Oh no, you don't have it.
I changed my gamer tag to Fozzie's not here.
Nice.
So that's all the questions, Foz?
Yeah, that's it, bud.
All right. So thank you those that wrote in this week. Write in next week. Ask us some questions. Next week, I think we're going to do an all Halo episode. So, tell us your favorite Halo moments. How you like when you started playing Halo? Like, send them in. We'll read them here on the air. You know what? If we get like 10 entries, pick out which one we think is the best and send you a copy of Deadly Premonition.
Oh yeah.
All right.
So, you can do that through perfectlysane@vagary.tv. You can also follow us on Twitter, PSane Show. Check out vagary.tv. Follow us, all of us on Twitter. That's all in the show notes. You guys got anything else? Anything you want to pimp?
No,
I'm pimp enough as it is.
Play it.
So, alright then. We will catch you guys next week.
Bye. Actually, I don't need poop anymore. It went back in, so.
Dude.
I hope we can edit that out.